Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com. Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you've had a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and I'm so happy you're able to join me tonight. Yes, this is a special edition of Get Deep and Keep It Real. Aren't you so happy? This is the third time in a week we've had a chance to have a wonderful conversation. So, yes, tonight I'm on, especially on a Monday, because, well, it was a holiday, and I could fit some more shows in. And I really just had a lot on my mind that I really wanted to talk about. There's just been so much stuff going on in the world today, and I just needed to talk to somebody about some of the stuff I've had on my mind. So what's been on Tiffany Camilla's mind? The state of our country, our community, our neighborhoods. I mean, really, what's going on? What do we really need to do to get our hoods, our communities together and to become more unified? Well, tonight I have on the show, we're going to be talking about a special organization called Brown Bag for Solidarity. And they're a special organization that was basically set up in the support of Mike Brown, but also just for young African-American men in general. But before I get into the rest of it, I'm going to bring on our guest today. He was so nice to join me at such a short notice, so I really appreciate Mr. Sean Joyner joining me tonight. So without further ado, let's get him on the line. Hello, Mr. Joyner. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Tiffany?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being able to join Get Deep and Keep It Real on such a short notice. But this was such an important topic to me, and I really loved what you were trying to do. So I would like for you to introduce yourself and just tell my listeners, explain to my listeners exactly what you set up and what you're trying to do, because I think it was just such an awesome thing.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Sean Joyner. I am from the New York area, New York City. And basically, with Brown Bags for Solidarity, how it all came about was out of frustration. The whole Mike Brown situation, everything that was going on in Ferguson, and here we have another young, unarmed black man dead, right? And,
yeah. You
know, it's not uncommon, even though it's still hurtful, but now all of a sudden it's not uncommon, and that's the problem in itself. But what really brought it about was the response to his death, as far as what we were getting from law enforcement, as far as what we were getting as far as the lack of transparency from law enforcement, and also the lack of humanity, it seemed like.
Yeah.
It just seemed like they weren't treating him like he was a human being, and we see that far too often. We had a situation here in New York City with Eric Garner, which was the same way. It's this lack of humanity, and that's what really compelled me to want to try to do something. And, you know, I don't have 5,000 Facebook friends. I don't have thousands and thousands of followers on Twitter, but I did not want to be one of those people who kept complaining, if that makes sense. And just trying to put together something to say that I'm contributing in some way. And that's all it really stemmed from. And with the friends that I have, it showed me the quality of the friends that I have because they rallied behind me and we got the word out. And basically with Brownbacks for Solidarity, we wanted to show support for the family on August 25th when Mike Brown was laid to rest. And we also wanted to show our community that we do have economic influence and we can leverage this economic influence to initiate change. And even though on the 25th, it may not have been anything earth-shattering as far as worldwide news or whatever with our economy, the point was to empower our community to understand, like, how did you feel once you saved money that day and kept that money in your pocket? Now take that feeling and times it by 10 or times it by 100. What if you had other people standing with you to do that? So it all starts with one step, and I think the 25th was the single step.
Exactly. I was, you know, so impressed when I saw that, and, you know, I made sure I honored it on that day. But I did a show on this past Saturday with a gentleman, and you probably heard the story, out in Beverly Hills. He was a producer, Mr. Belk. And one of the things that came up in our conversation was that, you know, we really want to get the point across to our young people, to everyone, that you don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a community organizer. You don't have to be a civil rights leader to stand up for your community. It starts, number one, in your own home and with you. And then you can move it down the street to your neighbor. And then hopefully they'll move it down to their neighbor and to school and then to the church. We've got it twisted. We've lost something.
Right. And I feel I feel like what happens is we're just so busy waiting on someone else to do something. And especially with celebrities, you know, I see a lot of things, whether it be posts and having conversations with people. It's where is so-and-so? Where is so-and-so? And we can't always wait on a celebrity to do anything. We govern ourselves. And once we govern ourselves and we give off what we, this positivity that we want to see, people will gravitate toward that. That I started is a testament to that. Because honestly, the response that I got, the feedback that I got, made me feel better than anything else because it shows that people are hungry to do something. But sometimes we have this paralysis, whether it be fear or fear of failure or fear of judgment. What if it doesn't go well and we end up not doing anything? But it's obvious that people do want something to be done, and we need to really take control of that for ourselves and for our community.
Exactly. I mean, we just can't, you know, expect people outside of us to do things for us. They can help and they can assist, but just unfortunately, if they don't have any investment or shares, and I don't mean this in the form of money, but if they're not stakeholders, you know, yes, we want to include all races, all cultures and ethnicities, but honestly, if they are not kind of going through some of the same things we are, they can't ever truly get the full effect unless maybe they've had some interracial family members or marriages, and then you can become a bit more sensitive, but it's hard when you don't have that connection. You know, you can have the empathy there, but unless you're truly feeling it, it's not there, you know.
Right. What I find, though, to your point, there is, you're right, but then when I look at this Mike Brown situation, particularly this situation right here, I think that this is so much more of a human issue. This is so much, it's a race issue, but it's a human issue. And what made it to me where it became more than just about people of color, more than just about black people, was the response. That could happen anywhere. Like the militarized police, the tanks, the tear gas, all of that, because people are requesting to know an officer's name. Because that's where it stems from. Who was the officer that did it? And they did not want to come up with his name. And the response of people protesting, as is their right to do, was a military response. That's not black. That's not black. That's white.
Exactly.
That's anyone. And so I think if people thought about it, instead of just being like, the usual, following the usual narrative of, oh, yeah, a troublesome black boy died, or if he would have just complied, everything would have been fine, and why are these people destroying property? You look at it from the bigger picture, and you realize that that didn't, the response to Mike Brown, the response to wanting to know Officer Wilson's name was, is a human issue, because that could happen to anyone across the board.
And I'm glad you brought that point up, because I even receive phone calls. I have friends who live all over the world. And this is just something you don't really expect to see from, quote, unquote, America. We're supposed to be the example, so we claim. So we claim. We're supposed to be the big example to the rest of the world. But, you know, I got my own ish with that. But because I've been to other places, and I know that this doesn't have to be. I've lived in countries that guns are not, like, number one. You know, I've lived places where even the cops don't even have guns. Guns are outlawed. For example, I'm just going to say I lived in South Korea. They don't do guns. I think some cops and some military may have, you know, a few guns, but no. And you don't see this. I mean, unfortunately, you just don't see this. You don't see mass shootings and things like that going on over here.
It's
and,
over here.
And that really disturbed me when I've served in the military. And so I was like, I was very offended as a veteran to see these tanks and these tactics used that I know I was trained for. And so I can't imagine just being the average citizen on the street and having to be confronted with that. I mean, that was just, to me, so out of line. That was so un-American to me.
Right, especially when you consider that's not what police are supposed to do. That's what the military is supposed to do, and not against its own citizen. The police aren't there for that. And so when people see this and think that that's a normal response, that's scary, because what are you saying? What do you believe that your police are there for? You know, they're here for the community, and I think that's a large part of the problem and a large part of the adversarial type of thing we have going on with our communities and the police, because they're not a part of the community, and they're not trying to be a part of the community. And the way they come across is they're just dropped into the middle of this quote-unquote jungle, and they just have to make it through and make it back home, and that's not what it's supposed to be about. And so, of course, we would be upset when things like this happen, because it's almost like you give these people, we don't know who these people are. They're not familiar with us. We're not familiar with them.
Right.
It's not like we speak on a, you know, they're peace officers. You're supposed to be integral or a part of your community. You're not supposed to be combative with the community that you're in. And so when you have that dynamic, what happens is, of course, we're not going to trust you. And then and then they don't trust us because they're unfamiliar with us. And it's like we're not, it's cyclical. Like, somebody has to give in order for us to really start this relationship. And it is a relationship if we allow it to be, but that's not been the case. And then when you have no accountability, and time again, when things like this happen, and you can easily write it off as, oh, well, he was an uppity black man, or he roughed up someone in a store, or he failed to comply. And one of the weirdest things I've seen, and one of the things that irked me just on social media and the like, is, oh, well, if he would have just done this, then he wouldn't die. And it's like failure to comply does not equal death. And I'm trying to understand when that became a common thing, or if that's okay, particularly with an unarmed person. How is failure to comply equal to death? And so these are the things that we have to figure out, and we have to be careful about people following these narratives and backing the police to say it's okay, because, again, it's a human issue. It could be you tomorrow. Regardless of skin color.
Yes, you're right. You're right about that. And that's one thing I really love. There were some, I cannot remember the name of the group, but there were some young Latinos who really came in and, you know, protested as well, because they were like, this could be us too, you know. And that's been a thing that I've really been trying to, you know, encourage people that I come in contact with. We as a society need to group together, for one, but just especially a lot of us minorities, there does not need to be any separation
At all.
Between us. At all. Because in the end, we are experiencing the same type of things, maybe on different levels. And, and I get very disappointed within the African-American community because I like to bring up the whole border thing, the border crisis. And I'm like, how are you upset with these people? They are trying to escape murder, everything going on in their country. They're just trying to be safe, number one. But in a different time, that could have been us. That was
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's all about what we're fed.
Exactly. I'm like, how did we forget that? How did we lose that? And I just, I feel stumped sometimes. I feel very, I don't want to say angry, but just like I don't have any control.
Right.
And
right.
I struggle to help myself understand and how to explain it to other people to help form a bridge, a connection. I'm not saying we all should agree on every single thing, but like you said, we need to see the humanity in each other.
Exactly.
We all want to breathe and have families and love each other.
Right, right.
You know?
I'm sorry not to cut you off, I apologize.
No, you're fine.
Oh, but, and you're exactly right. The thing is, we the human aspect, and I keep stressing that point because that is really what it boils down to at the end of the day. It's like if you can see a young man dead in the street and disregard that young man just because of the color of his skin, that's a problem.
Right.
And that's not a black problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not a black,
exactly.
That's an American problem. If you can sit there and do that and think that that's okay, if you can just see a black unarmed young man, a Latino young unarmed young man in the street and say, well, what did they do?
Mm-hmm.
If that's your first reaction, it's someone's child. It doesn't matter. And it's so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate that everyone, like to your point, you said we have families, we love our families, we're trying to grow and make our families bigger, our communities larger, and all of a sudden people forget about that this is someone's family. And these are kids. When you look at this situation, he's 18, he's a kid. I don't care if he was 6'4", I don't care if he was 300 pounds, he's a child. And it's almost as if our children of color, don't get the chance to mess up. Don't get the chance to be teenagers that do weird things, that may sit there and do something illegal, something goofy with their friends, because we've all done it. And it's amazing to me how people can forget that, yes, you were there. You may have driven drunk before. You may have actually done that. You may have written graffiti on a wall before. You may have taken a bag of chips out of a store before while in college because you were hungry. And these things have happened, and you did not die from these things happening. You were not killed from these. These are the mistakes and lessons and bumps in the road. You know, you may have had to parent, may have had to pick you up from the precinct one day. You weren't under arrest, but you got picked up because you did something wrong. How do we forget that? How do we forget these
Can
stories?
You imagine being held accountable for something you did at 15 or 16?
Oh, God.
Now?
Oh, God,
I mean, like, come on, y'all. Really? Really?
I would hope not. I would hope not, because that's not a horrible thing.
Exactly. I mean, come on. There's a difference in, you know, somebody 35 and 18.
Right.
You know, I mean, of course, maybe they didn't know that, but just because he was a big giant, you still have childlike qualities in you.
Right. And it's this thing, and it's just so much like, he was big, and I understand that, but he was still a child. And since when did we give the victim the full amount of accountability for why he's a victim? So it's all his fault, you know what I mean? And then especially when you look at, like I said, a police officer, don't we hold them to a higher standard?
Right.
Shouldn't we hold them to a higher standard? Yeah. They're not the same as a teenager, right? They don't equate to the same as an 18-year-old. So why do we hold the 18-year-old with so much more accountability than the officer of the law?
Exactly.
And it's just so weird, and it's so easily fed. And even if they put it out and try to retract it, it's already there. Like, once they put it out, people grab it and latch onto it.
Right.
And that's scary.
And I guess my big thing is also, you had so much money to get Tank, but y'all didn't have as much money to get tasers. And so
right.
why
right.
isn't the fact that you don't have, you have tanks, but no tasers, and the gun is always the first thing to use.
Automatically.
You know?
And it's okay. And it's
and why are we
okay.
shooting to kill? I mean, right. and that was my other thing, having, you know, been in the military. Why are you shooting to kill? You could have
right.
shot him. You didn't have
right.
to shoot to kill.
Right, but it, all, but it also goes back to, you know, we're upset with the police officers because that's our first line when we look at authority and we look at power. That's our first. That's the first thing we see. These are the quote unquote enforcers of that. So we're upset with them. But if we really want to be upset, or if we really want someone to point our anger to, we will point our anger to what's above them that are allowed that's allowing them to do this. It's almost like
exactly.
we're being angry with the children because mm-hmm. they don't have parental mm-hmm. guidance. We need to be angry at the
right.
parents that are allowing this to happen.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
It's not just so much that our kids are dying, it's that our kids are dying and there is no culpability. No one's responsible for it except
right.
the victim. And after a while, yeah, why wouldn't you be upset? I don't condone rioting, but I understand why one would riot. Do you understand? I get it. Because if you
yeah.
see this time after time again, what are they letting you know that your life is worth?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, and I hate when people try mm-hmm. to downplay it like they're just being petty or they're just being silly and they're destroying mm-hmm. property. We care more about property than we care about lives.
I know, and it's really sad. And we've,
right.
I mean, to your point, we've really become complacent in this
yes.
Era of, I don't know how you are, I'm in my 40s. And
I am as well.
I want to say that between, like, my mom's generation and our generation somewhat, even though I think we had pockets of people who kind of tried to speak out. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure about that generation, like, where my mom, because it was, like, post-civil rights era. So that, you know, those people right there, I understood they, okay, we survived that. You don't want your children to have to go through that.
Right.
And experience stuff. So you did a lot of things to protect them and to coddle
right.
and, you know, oh, get an education and make that money and you'll be protected. But that's a lie we've been telling ourselves for at least the last 40 years.
Right, right, right. You're absolutely correct. I agree with that. I think there has been a disconnect. It's like post-civil rights era, everyone is like, okay, we're all equal now, even though we're not really
yeah.
equal now. So, but if we achieve more, if we educate ourselves, which we should do, but if we educate
yeah.
ourselves, if we achieve more, if we get more, then we'll be on the same level playing field, and that's a lie. So it's
yeah.
not that we shouldn't educate ourselves, and it's not that we shouldn't have more and achieve more and want the best for ourselves yeah. and our children. It's that the playing field will not be level until we take it beyond that point. This is a legislative thing. This is about passing
exactly.
laws. And this is the boring part, which no one wants to deal
right.
with. Everyone likes the flashy stuff. Everyone likes the headline,
mm-hmm.
even down to the media. You know, Ferguson will be, you know, it'll be page 15 or page 20 within the next
mm-hmm.
week or so because
mm-hmm.
the protests have calmed down. And
right.
so, and also when we don't see it on the front page, then we also stop because we're busy. We
right.
get into our social media. We get into our phones,
mm-hmm.
our lives, our trying
mm-hmm.
to keep up with whoever we're keeping up with. And then we forget about it. And that,
yeah.
I think, that's where we lose. That's where we mess up
yeah.
because you have to focus on the quote-unquote boring part for anything to
mm-hmm.
effectively happen.
Right. You're exactly
yeah.
right. Well, we have about 5 or so minutes left, and I wanted to, like, leave time for you to really explain about your organization, what further future activities you guys are trying to do and who you're trying to target.
Oh, okay. It's been crazy. It's funny that you asked me that because, you know, this was started and it was a passion thing. And then once I did it for the 25th, I realized that I could not stop at this point. Like it's because the response was so overwhelming, it couldn't be in that day. So now we've been collaborating with a bunch of different people to try to figure out what we're going to do next or how we can be effective as far as flexing our economic influence and
right.
understanding that we can leverage this to initiate change. So the next thing that I'm looking at, and we're just trying to wait and see if that's what we're really going to do, is that next week, I know on September 8th, there's a blackout protest.
And I heard about that, yes.
Right. And so we're definitely supporting that. But on September 9th, see, I'm big on dates. Like, this is my thing. I'm very big on dates and what they mean. And so September 9th will be a month since Mike Brown was murdered.
Oh, okay.
And in that month's time, we still haven't, you know, Darren Wilson has still not been arrested. There's still been, nothing has happened. Except this boy is dead and this police officer's paid. And that's what's happened. And so I was considering that from September 9th, from that Tuesday and every Tuesday thereafter, that we show our economic influence by not spending any money throughout the end of the year.
Right.
And so the idea behind it is to, again, do it on a weekly basis, to gain more people, get them interested, have them understand their economic influence. And also what I would love to do, I really would love to, is I'm looking forward to collaborating with other movements and initiatives as well. I really am, because I am not, how do I put it, this is a first-time thing for me, but I know what I would like to see, and I'm willing to learn. I'm open to ideas, and we're just looking to really get people together to understand their economic influence, that there is power if we band together. There's power in our dollar, and we can initiate change, and that's the biggest thing that I want to impress upon people.
And I think we've lost that. I mean, if we look at other communities, they do that. They keep theirs within theirs, and then they take it out. And we don't do that.
And it's the least inconvenient thing that you can do and the most effective at the same time. Right. I mean, you're keeping money in your pocket. It's not difficult. You know, it's the least inconvenient thing that you can do, and it's the most effective. So imagine if we can just get numbers. So now we're really trying to push it out there with more, with social media. Within a span of 5 days, we reached 169,000 people. So now my thing is like, wow, what can we do within a month? What can we do within 2 months? And it also allows us, if we do it Tuesday, if we push it forward to the end of the year, it also allows people to not forget.
Right.
To not forget. To not forget about Mike Brown, to not forget about Eric Garner, to not forget about John Crawford, to not forget about these people. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so easy to do, because it gets to the boring part, and it gets to the lawyer part, and it gets to the grand jury and indictments, and people just kind of like glaze over. Yeah. And we can't do that anymore. We can't afford to.
Yeah. So if there's anything I can do, please let me know. And, I mean, we really need to. I'm in New Orleans, and so...
Right.
We got the same issues, if not worse, going on here as well.
Exactly. Someone reached out to me from Chicago, same issues. And I'm like, wow, I would love to work. You know, I would love for us to collaborate and figure out what we can do to keep people's interest, It's an American issue. And I just want to say to you, thank you so much, Tiffany. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you.
It's been really great.
Yes. I've been, since the incident happened, and really, before that incident happened, there was just so many things going on, and it's just, I don't know what it is. I'm like, guys, it's a free show. I mean, you know, I'm not getting paid or anything.
Right.
So why be afraid to come on and speak your mind? I mean, that's the one thing I think I do like about the format, is because it's not censored as much as if I'm on some, you know, FCC-regulated type of programming.
Exactly.
You know, like I say, we can get deep and keep it real here.
Right.
So
I appreciate it so much. I appreciate the platform, and this is what social media is about when we use it positively.
Exactly.
You know, so this is great.
So anytime you would like to come back, I have no problem. If you need me to give out some shout-outs, you know, on my weekly, whenever I do my weekly shows, I have no problem. Just hit me up, because this is how it starts. You know, I may not, like you said, you know, I may not have the talent to maybe go out here and organize people, but this is my way of giving back and informing and educating. And because it is archived, hopefully, you know, 15 years from now, somebody somehow will come up and be like, oh, wow, she did a show on this. They were talking about this back then.
Right.
You know?
Right. We can never fail to forget that it all matters. It all matters.
Exactly.
You know, if it's authentic and it comes from your heart, then it matters. So please continue doing what you do, and I will attempt to do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We got to keep it together. Well,
right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Joyner. Did you want to give any information about your organization? I did post it on my site, but you're welcome.
Well, I will say if anyone would like to contact us, it's brownbacksolidarity@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are @BBSolidarity. And our Facebook page is Brownbacks for Solidarity. So please feel free to reach out to me on any of those. I'm on it. my phone is always in my hand, so I definitely respond. I definitely engage, and I promote dialogue. So that'll be great.
And in case you missed the live broadcast on this, you can always find the link on my Facebook or Twitter page, and that's Get Deep and Keep It Real Blog Talk Radio. So just check out Facebook or Twitter, Get Deep and Keep It Real. Thank you so much, Mr. Joyner. You have a great evening.
You too, Tiffany. Enjoy your evening.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camella. I hope you enjoyed this show. I hope you learned something and just heard the passion in Mr. Joyner's voice about trying to mend and heal our community. And just get us on that upward flight of just being together and peaceful and in harmony, not just for our community, but the whole world community, the whole national community. Because in the end, we all need each other to survive. And so hopefully this conversation is just a small step into that big path. And make sure you join me. I'll be back on Wednesday. And I'm going to talk about an issue that's very personal to me. And that's an issue of hyperthyroidism and thyroid disease. I'm going to have a wonderful expert on the show. Her name is Raina. And Raina is a personal trainer. And she writes a lot of articles and has done a lot of research about thyroid disease or hypothyroidism. So if you or someone you know has problems with their thyroid, I suggest you listen. And even if you don't, you might actually have thyroid problems and not know it. So make sure you tune in on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camella. Have a great evening. Love, peace, and happiness.